Hello and welcome to a very special version of the Racing Postcast. It is our Cheltenham Festival special. We'll be hearing from a top team looking at our best bets across the week. As always, do like, comment, share, let us know your fancies, what you think is going to win during the next 4 days. And don't miss out on any of the content we'll have at the Racing Post during the Cheltenham Festival week. You can also still catch our special Cheltenham preview show with the likes of Nicky Henderson giving his verdict on the likes of Constitution Hill and all of those available on YouTube. Now, before we get stuck in, though, to all of our best bets, Ed, what have you got for us? You've got some offers for Unibet.
Yeah, James, we've got plenty of offers throughout the course of the week. All the favourites we talk about in the normal postcast. But on the Tuesday, it's spectacular. We've got the Magnificent Seven, an offer for every race. Opening in the Supreme, with money back second or third. The next race, the Arca, we've got a super boost from 9 a.m. The Ultima, the next race on the card is six places for each way punters. The Mayor's Hurdle, another super boost from 9 a.m. And then the big one, the Unibet Champion Hurdle. We couldn't do anything else, really, but we're going top price every single runner from 9 a.m. So we'll be industry top price. No worries to go anywhere else. That is the place to go, Unibet, for the Champion Hurdle. And the last two races, the Fred Winter and the National Hunt Chase. Each race, we're going an extra place for those each way bets.
Right, let's get straight into the show. Regular viewers of the Postcast, this is a little bit different. We're just going to be going through our five best bets, going each by counting down towards the number one. On the panel, join me in our top right there. If you're watching along, is Keith Melrose, Ed Nicholson from Unibet, as you've heard, in the bottom right, and Tom Park in the bottom left. Let's go straight into it then. Tom, your fifth best bet, should I say, for the Cheltenham Festival.
Well, James, I made a decision that nothing goes in shorter than 2-1. There's anyone can get those, and we've heard plenty about a lot of those on the Postcast and other preview nights. So, starting with one at a massive price, simply because if it goes in, I can dine off it for years. Nurse Susan in the Martin Pipe, 5:20 on Friday. Look, I was very keen on her chances last year for the race. She never made it. She's had a setback. She hasn't actually been seen since January 2024. She won a Lingfield handicap very causally. She'd won a mare's handicap to start before that, and I think she's really well handicapped off a mark of 133 if Dan Skelton has her back. Now, he has stressed a couple of times on a few preview nights and stable twos, etc., that he wishes he's had more time with her and that she improved for the run. But don't underestimate Mr. Skelton. There are fewer better than him at getting them right. And she's one of two of Skelton's entered for the race. And given his pedigree in these big handicap hurdles, I think that is telling. Tristan Durrell, who is his go-to conditional, is jocked up. I think 40-1 is a massive, massive price for a very talented mare. She was in the mare's hurdle still until this morning. So they clearly think that she's still got a lot of talent. And I think she's well handicapped if she's still got it.
In the colours of the Langerdan as well. We know what Langerdan's done at the previous festival. Keith, let's bring you in. What is your number five?
My number five is in the Arkle, and obviously Majbrit is the most talented horse in the race, but he's just so raw. He's five, and the sort of five-year-olds that used to win this race were either flat horses or they had started a career in France. The last five-year-old to win the race, Voy Pour Ustedes, was getting £5 weight for age too, you know, so they don't get that weight for age anymore. And he's just he's a big, sort of slower developing type. I just want to take him on. And it's with Lodasud, who's the second favourite, but he always looks really good at Cheltenham. Do you remember how he scooted in here at November in the Grade 2 Arkle trial hero? That he's been working backwards from the Arkle ever since that day. So I'm not worried at all about very slightly workmanlike wins on his last two starts. He's got all the experience. He jumps brilliantly. Again, that's something else Skelton's very good at getting his horses to do. And I just think he's worth taking on Majbrit with.
9-2 with Unibet as it stands. Finally, Ed.
Yeah, my number five is going to be Joyeuse. I'm very happy to put that one in fifth. Closely related to Epiton, as we all know. And I can just see her keeping on improving as she gets more experience. That last run at Newbury in the big handicap hurdle, I mean, that was quite spectacular for a horse who previously had run at Cheltenham. And Nikki and Nico both said that she'd lacked the experience for that run. She should have won. She has gone a lot up on the handicap. Obviously, this is a mare's hurdle. It's not a handicap. But when you look at the ratings, she still does need to improve a fair bit to win. But she's around about 12-1. And I can't help but think of her closely related half-sister, well, not half-sister, but closely related individual, Epiton, who started her handicap rating of 137 and ended up winning the Unibet Champion Hurdle that season. You know, this Joyeuse has got a rating, official rating of 138. I think she's much better than that. I think everyone thinks she's much better than that. I just think a fast run race will suit. And at 12 to 1, I think it's worth taking a chance. She can beat the more established mares such as Lossy Mouth. Good price, I think, to get Nicky Henderson off to a good start.
Yeah, supplemented for the race. Now, I don't usually give my selections, but I'm going to join in this time. And I'm going to go for a huge price here. 50 to 1 with Unibet. First confession in the Albert Ball. I'm not fussed on this race. I think it's pretty open. The Tizard Yard won this with Kilbrick and Storm a few years ago. And I think First Confession will probably be as good a novice they've had for some time. Looks every day a stayer. This is usually an ugly race. He seems a strong stayer. I think he'll get the trip fine. Ground will be fine. A good winner at Ascot last time. So definitely think he's an each-way chance. The First Confession for me. Let's move on to number four. This time, Keith, you're going to kick us off.
Yeah, and you know, we've got quite a few. We're already talking about Tuesday races in some smaller fields. That's probably going to continue in some of the championship races later in the week. The Ryanair has got a really good each-way look to me. Factifiles form generally, I share Tom Siegel's sort of slight reluctance about the level of that. And I don't sort of, I've got my doubts about Ely Francais anywhere where he's got to worry about little hills and stuff. He just looks a pure rhythm horse and he's never run at Cheltenham. So it's an each-way relationship to me. The obvious one's protected it, and I wouldn't put anybody back off backing that horse each way. It's got the each-way bit to nothing written all over it. However, Jello's twice the price and shouldn't be. He was third in the Golden Miller last year, and if Ginny's Destiny or Grey Dawning, who finished in front of him that day, had had exactly the same season that he's had this year, they'd be 5-1, 6-1 for this race. You know, he's been second in a Halden Gold Cup, won the Peterborough, second to Protector at Windsor, which was a bit of a misstep, but time's going to show Windsor's a funny track. And then he won the Denman very well at Newbury last month. So it's just, this horse should not be 12-1. If he had a little bit more of a name behind him, he'd be protected at sort of price. So it's Jello each way in the Ryanair for me.
Yeah. Tom, just bring you in. The Ryanair is possibly one of the most interesting races of the week with Factifile Ely Francais. Have you got a strong opinion on that one? I'm not sure where I stand on it. I would want to take them both on like Keith, I think.
Yeah, I'd probably be more in the Factifile camp than Ely Francais. Like many, I would have quite fancied Ely Francais if he'd taken his chance in the champion chase. It's more on a price perspective. I agree with Keith. I think he's got a bit to prove in terms of his form round Cheltenham. He's just a bit in and out for my liking to be taken relatively short price, and I think Factifile is pretty solid. But yeah, it's a good race. I've not really nailed my colours to the mast just yet. I might look at something each way, or I might back the favourite. Probably depends on how my week's going, to be honest, by the time we get to Thursday.
And what's number four then, Parky?
Number four for me, I hope you're wrong that Nigel Twiston Davis is not has got a the First Confession is his best novice, because my number four is Potter's Charm. It's a really good race that would the turners look, the top three in the market are very, very good, but Potter's Charm seriously being underestimated 14-1. It's a massive price for a seriously talented horse. Like, you're going to get 14-1 about some of these horses in handicaps, and they'll be 5-6 down the list. This is fourth down the list, 14-1. Big old price that. Look, you have to ignore his last run to fancy him, but that's easy enough to do. Twiston Davis had said after that it was a bit of an afterthought. It was his fifth run of the season. He's had a nice break to freshen him up. And if we see the Potter's Charm that absolutely smashed County Hurdle Hope Valgrand at Cheltenham in November, then he hasn't got an awful lot to improve to be right up there with the top three in the market. I think he will improve on that. He's just not really had a chance to. Like, he ran over a trip too short at Aintree, did well to win in the end. And then we've talked about the excuses last time. But if he improves on that November run, he's right here. And it's worth remembering, he's actually only £2 behind the new line on official ratings. He might not be good enough, but you're getting a cracking each-way value in 14-1 for, I think, a seriously talented horse. Yeah, I'm more than happy to take that. I think it should be half the price. So, yeah, Potter's Charm for me in the turners on Wednesday.
Could not agree more with what you've just said there, Tom. Ed?
Yeah, my number two is going to be Aware in the Coral Cup. Relatively short price handicap favourite, and the race is full of potential winners, I know, but I've just been taken by the Skelton horse all season and last year as a novice. He looks like a horse that will win a big handicap. And, you know, if there's one big handicap that the Skeltons know how to win, it's the Coral Cup. And this horse has got 2.5 written all over. 2.5 is probably perfect. He needs to settle. A faster run race buried at the back might really suit him. He's run very well at Cheltenham in the Unibet Great Wood Hurdle when finishing really, really fast. If you look at it, he came from a mile back that day. I just think as long as he settles and gets the 2.5, I can't see him out the first 4 or 5. But I'm going win on Be Aware Wednesday, Coral Cup, as my number four.
Good. Number four for me, counting down as we do. Heracles Westward in the National Hunt Chase on Tuesday, the 5:20 last race. Phil, this is another race where you can have one at a bit of a price. And this horse, to me, just strikes. He's going to stay all day. Some decent form over 3 miles. I think the improvement will come over further. Bit disappointing at Newbury last time, but I think Lord of Thunder might actually go well later in the week. Needs further. I think he'll improve. And Harry Cobden, that's a positive if ever you need one. Let's go into number three. Ed, your turn to kick us off. Third best bet from the Nicholson team.
Yeah, third best bet is quite a big price, but I do fancy him in a competitive race, hence being number three and ahead of Be Aware. It's Shanna Bob in the Potemps final. Nicky's got three in this race. I put this one up as my nap each way for the whole meeting on the Racing Post Unibet Cheltenham Festival. I've got two that are at number one and number two that are short price, which Tom won't like, which is why I put this one in at number three. But Shanna Bob, I just think he's going to run a big race on a course and distance he's won at over before as a novice, a grade two. He then ran fourth in a grade one Sefton Novices Hurdle at Liverpool. Then went chasing, wasn't really his game. He's only had 5 races over hurdle, and that fifth race is really important. I think he had that fifth race recently so he could qualify for one of these handicaps, and this is the obvious one. He's a doughty stayer. He's only had 7 runs altogether. And I really fancy him here at each way price. He's 16-1 with Unibet. Just a few days ago, he was 33. So a few people are agreeing with me. I can see him running a big race. He's number three on the Thursday.
Bit of market support, Tom.
Yeah, my number three is the War Park in the Stairs. I just think Tiapu, he's become a bit of a Marmite horse, hasn't he? Like, some people are already kind of making out as if he's this staying great, who'll have these on toast, while others can't have him at all. And it's not that I can't have him at all. I just think he's got an awful lot to prove. It's got like the complete opposite race of last season. It's going to be on good ground. There's a lot of young, improving horses that he's taken on this time that they're unexposed. We don't know how good they are. So I think he's worth taking on. And I'm going to take him on with his stablemate, the War Park. He just left a massive impression on me when winning a handicap here on good ground back in October. Absolutely motored up the hill that day. He was then caught out in Grade 1 company last time, but again, he finished like a train, and it's those finishing kicks that really stand out. Unlike Tiapu, he will get everything in his favour. I think a strong run race on better ground, nothing's going to be staying up the hill quicker than him. If he's within a length of them, jumping the last, I think he'll win. And I just think he's a crack in each way, but a double figure price. So yeah, the War Park in the Stayers for me.
Let's come on to Keith, number three.
Yeah, like Ed, I've chosen to use slot three from a slightly provocative, massive price one on a handicap. The Grand Daniel, not a strong race, never is, and it's only got weaker today. We've got news that Liberty Hunter is going to go for the Champion Chase instead. And look, don't get me wrong, Unexpected Party is going to be on side for me because it's so weak behind him. But as a horse in this race, Trapraine Law, who is a massive price and has caught my eye a little bit, I thought this horse was going to win the Red Rum last year, actually. He looked like one of those Lucinda Russell rockets that just keeps finding more and more improvement when he was ridden aggressively over 2 miles. This season's not gone so well so far, but he did shape really well on his reappearance, actually, at Carlisle with Marble Sands and Colonel Harry in there, just got tired. And since then, things haven't gone terribly well, but there was a lot more promise at Musselburgh last time. Over 2.5 miles, he got held up. That's not how you ride Musselburgh, and that's not how you ride him. I think it was a confidence booster to get him back to where he needs to be. Patrick Wadge is already jocked up. And if they ride him again, like by bouncing him out, which is what they did with him last year when he looked so good, that's how you win Grand Daniels. So at huge odds, and what's going to be one of the weakest handicaps of the week, Traprain Law is in at my 3.
Yeah, we like a big price deduction. I'm going to go for number 3, one that's already been said, I'm afraid. But be aware, Ed, I'm agreeing with you on this one. Just simply as everything you've said is bang on the money. He's better than 137. He's going to improve this step up and trip. And look, handicap hurdles on the Skeletons. Look no further. Let's go on to number 2. Keith, kick us off. What is the second best bet from Keith Melrose?
It is another Lucinda Russell trained handicapper. It's on Tuesday and it's Whistle Stop Tour, who's aptly named for the moment because that is exactly what he got at Cheltenham when he came here on trials day. In the 2.5 mile novice handicap chase, he was here for experience, really. He's not a 2.5 miler. He has got a Scottish national look about him. And the race that day didn't suit him. He was held up. They finished at 106% overall world speed, which in sort of layman's terms, that's like a second a furlong faster from 3 out. Not the sort of thing that's going to suit a horse like him at all, but it got him qualified for these handicaps. It got him experience at the course, and he really did run quite well. He was just plainly too slow. And I think he's got the real sort of arc for this race and beyond. The last horse Lucinda Russell put in that novice handicap chase on trials day was One for Arthur. And on top of that, you don't need any telling about her record in the Ultima. So yeah, I'm interested that Myertown's in there as well from the same yard, but Whistle Stop Tour has been the one for this race for a few weeks now. So he's my second in.
Staying local to your roots there, Keith. We like to see it, but good chance for Whistle Stop Tour. Ed?
Number 2, John Bon. John Bon is a star, a horse that I absolutely loved. Saw at Nicky's before he'd even run and fell in love with him. So this is more a head, a heart tip as much as a head tip, because I really want to see him in the history books having won at a Cheltenham Festival. He's come second twice in both championship races over the novices, the hurdle, obviously, to Constitution Hill, and as a novice chaser in the Arkell. Missed last year, obviously, because of all the problems. Would have won. I think everyone knows that. And he will win this time, putting things right. So his record over fences is phenomenal. 12 wins from 14. He's won 9 grade ones in total over hurdles and fences. He's shown himself, I think, to be better than he was last year. The handicap rating suggests that as well, albeit by only a small margin. There is a slight doubt. And even Aidan Coleman, who used to ride him, says that he doesn't think he's a Cheltenham horse. I don't think that can be true. I mean, I know he's got beaten at Cheltenham, but he's been beaten by 2 very good horses. I think he wins, and he's odds on to do it. But John Bon is my second best bet of the week in the Queen Mother.
Of course, Tom said nothing less than 2-1. I'm going to double his fury because there's one I think is a little bit of a price. It's my number 2. East India Dock in the Triumph. I just think he should be short. I thought he was so impressive on trials day. Lalambra, I've just not bought the hype. I think he's well clear, and I think Stencil will run well in the Fred Winter on Tuesday, and his price could possibly shorten after that. So East India Dock's my number 2. Tom, are you furious at us both for those 2 selections?
You might find out from my number 1 that I'm a little bit furious with yours, but I'll go with my number 2 for now. Transmission in the National Hunt Chase. Absolutely love this horse's profile for this. I don't know if you remember on the Trials Day podcast, I mentioned Transmission then and to keep an eye out for him for whatever chase that he ran, and he was massive price for this back then. And he was running in the Cleeve. And Neil Mulholland has a history using races like the Cleeve for preps, as he did to the Druid's nephew who went on to win the Ultima all those years back. I think they have known for a long, long time that this horse is very good. An extra plan at the start of the season with their eyes firmly set on this race. I remember someone telling me he looked quite big in the parade ring on his first start, but he looked like he was giving Highland a big race turning in, tired up the hill, which might explain the him looking a bit big in the parade ring. Then went to Cheltenham, month later, won like a really, really well-handicapped horse under Patrick Mullins. Was bumped up just £4. Connections must have been delighted with that. He's given a very patient ride on his next start, finished like a train, and then on to the Cleve. This just looks like a massive plan from the Mulholland team with a very talented horse. Patrick is back on 133. I think he's got a massive chance. So Transmission is my number two in the National Hunt Chase.
Okay, we've done 5, 4, 3, 2. We've got one to come and we'll be giving our best bets shortly after this quick break.
Ready to up the ante on race day? With Unibet's same race multi, you can back multiple horses in the same race, all in one bet. Think Bet Builder, but for racing, you might fancy one horse to win, another to place, or even a third and fourth place finish. The more selections you combine, the bigger your odds and the bigger your potential return. Say you've backed Constitution Hill to win, Lossy Mouth to finish in the top two, and Stake Man to place in the top four. With Unibet's same race multi, you can stack the odds in your favour. Covering multiple outcomes in the same race gives you more ways to win and potential for bigger returns than a single bet. Same race multi adds more excitement to race day, especially when you're watching your picks make their way to the finish line. Get in on the action with same race multi. Try it on your next bet with Unibet.
Okay, so on to our best bet at the 2025 Cheltenham Festival. Here we go. Keith Melrose, betting editor, what have you got for us?
Right, I'm going to throw it forward and I'm going to ask you to look at this festival from the end of the season. How many times do we say at the end of the season, God, that novice handicap chase at Cheltenham on trials day was really good? And how many times do we get a horse that's ended up one of the champion novice chasers of the season, that's won a grade one at Aintree, that run a handicap at Cheltenham? I think that's Jaguar. And I think he's going to win whatever race he runs in on Thursday. Most likely the Golden Mirror, but it could also be the Plate. They have thought this horse for this for Cheltenham ever since he battered Lowry's Bar stupid at Bangor. He made that horse look like a yak, and that horse is now rated £18 higher over fences. That day he went straight in a notebook. He was always the horse for then. You talk to her, you know, that was just a... Remember, they need four runs to get qualified for the open handicaps, and he had two then. So they would run him at Uttoxeter just to keep him ticking over, and then run him at Trials Day. They backed the stablemate, Billy the Big Red, but Jaguar dotted up. 106% finishing speed we've talked about, you know, a second, a furlong faster from three out. He came from the back, and he won with his head in the air. Proper horse, rated 139. So well handicapped. Jaguar for me.
Keith, we have been copying notes by the sounds of it, because Jaguar was on mine as well. We're not quite sure, recording on Sunday afternoon, what race he's going to go for. His favourite for the Jack Richards on Thursday and also the Plate. Jack Richards, of course, being the novice. Everything you say, I agree with. And I was there at Cheltenham on trials day and thought, I quite fancy this Jaguar. I think he's going to be quite a useful horse. And the money just made me think, there's something clearly wrong here. It's going to be Billy the Big Red. And I did just leave that thinking, I don't think he was meant to win that day. I thought they were thinking about another day, but I think he has just got almost so much ahead of a handicapper.
Yeah, you've got to be really careful when saying not there to win that day. However, I think you're right. It was second.
Well, like you have prep races. It was
yeah, exactly. Like with Whistle Stop Tour, it was secondary. Winning that race was secondary, and he did it like a machine.
Yeah. Look, horses trial, they might not be 100%, and he might not have been 100% and still won. That might just be a good example of how good he is. Keith, I hope we're right. Tom, what are you going to go for? Number one.
Yeah, Jaguar is actually probably last off my list for the top five, so I'm hoping you guys are right. Number one is Lulamba in the Triumph Hurdle. I know you fancy East India Doc. I have a ton of respect for what he's done this season. He's definitely a worthy opponent and has the form in the book. But Lulamba has the modern-day Triumph winning profile. French bred, 8 the last 10 were French bred, 5, last 5 being 2 as well. So he's got that in his favour. People are knocking the form of his Ascot win simply because Mondo Man was beaten at Kempton. But the third one, and look, Lulamba was streets ahead of them. This horse just does what he needs to do. We've only seen him once, which is why he is the price he is, because I think if we'd seen him two or three times, he's going to prove himself that he's the best of this division. Look, Nicky Henderson's won this race loads and probably would have won it with Sugino last year as well. He said in the Racing Post Unibet preview earlier in the week that Lamba's nowhere near as flashy as Sugino, but he did compare them right up there with his other winners. And he even said better than most of them, I think. A reminder that Peace and Co went into the Triumph rate at 155. If he is as good as him, then the others are playing for second. I suspect he is. I suspect he's better than him. I think he's really, really good, Lamba, and I hope that he proves it in the Triumph on Friday.
Best of luck, Tom. Bring it on. Let's go to Ed.
Yeah, my number one is Constitution Hill in the Unibet Champion Hurdle. I mean, he is odds on and he's quite short with us at 4-7, but there is 4-6 around. And I think with all the news about brighter days ahead and all the experts who are saying this mare is going to really put it to him, is the best horse that racehorse that he would ever raced against. I mean, some of the stellar tipsters in the media are putting brighter days ahead up as a choice in the Unibet Champion Hurdle. I think you might get a price. I don't think it will touch odds against. I don't think it will touch evens, but I think you might get 4-5. And you might be thinking, wow, what a price for one of the best horses we've ever seen. Perfect 10. And I honestly think that he will go there and he'll win with his head in his chest. I think Brighter Days Ahead will make it. And I think that the faster the pace, the better it will be for Constitution Hill. I'm really looking forward to the race itself. And I really want to see a championship performance from this horse and can put all the doubters wrong and win easily. Bright Days Ahead is a good mare, but I'm so glad she's running, because if he does win, he does win well. I think we'll then be able to say that Constitution Hill is properly one of the best champion hurdles we've ever seen.
Yeah, I think if he wins, it'll be quite a magical day at Cheltenham. I think the crowd there and enjoying him coming back after really what's been a quite remarkable comeback in 12 months. Right, before we wrap up, let's go to each panellist and get through your top five. Keith, give us a reminder of all your top five.
Yeah, so it's 5, Slow to Suit in the Arkle. 4 is Jello Each Way in the Ryanair. 3 is Trapline Law in the Grand Annual. 2 is Whistle Stop Tour in the Ultima. And 1 is Jaguar in any race you care to mention, but it's looking likely to be the Golden Miller on Thursday.
Tom Park, your 5 best bets for the 2025 Cheltenham Festival.
5 is Nurse Susan in the Martin Pipe. 4, Potter's Charm in the Turners. The Wall Park is number 3 in the Stayers Hurdle. Transmission, number 2 in the National Hunt Chase. And Lulamba is my best bet of the Cheltenham Festival in the Triumph Hurdle on Friday.
And Unibet's Ed Nicholson, what's your 5?
Yeah, 5 is Joyeuse in the Mares on Tuesday. 4 is Be Aware in the Coral on Wednesday. Shanna Bob on the Thursday in the Potemps. Wednesday, got to go for John Bond in the Queen Mother. And number 1 is the number 1, Constitution Hill in the Unibet Champion Hurdle on the Tuesday.
And myself, James Stevens, I'm going First Confession Each Way in the Albert Bartlett on Friday. Heracles Westward in the National Hunt Chase on Tuesday. Be Aware, favourite for the Coral Cup on Wednesday. East India Dock taking on Tom Park in the Triumph. And me and Keith are aligned. Jaguar, whatever race he wants to go for, as you rightly say, Keith, hopefully Jack Richards on Thursday. Thank you all very much for your selections. And my word, best of luck for a huge 4 days. The Postcast takes a very short break on Thursday, as you can imagine. But we'll be back the following Thursday for our usual racing postcast. As always, have a fantastic week. Best of luck. And do remember to gamble responsibly. Best of luck at Cheltenham. Enjoy the racing. And of course, the Racing Post will keep you covered with everything you need to know. Enjoy the week.